All right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 7 in this Ancient History program of History at Our House for the Elementary Class. We're back after our nice first long weekend of the school year, and we've got to continue to forge this connection between us and the ancient world. The ancient world that we are going to study this year is very far away, so far away that most people ignore it. They can't make a connection. They can't feel that connection. And so they decide that there's nothing there that they should really pay attention to. And that's really sad. As we're going to learn more about today, the fact of the matter is that our connection to the ancient past is powerful and very meaningful and very important. And by letting go of that connection, we set ourselves up for some very powerful problems as human beings. And so our challenge this year here is to make the strongest connection that we possibly can, not to go and learn as many facts as we can, because facts by themselves are just facts. They don't have any meaning in and of themselves. We have to figure out what they mean. We have to figure out how they are connected to us to figure out that meaning. So that's our goal, is to find out what the facts of history mean, how they are connected to us. And so today we have another, what I call an anchor fact to fill in to our growing kind of what I'm calling a portland chart. You're going to see that it is a kind of portland chart, and we're going to build it in a really interesting way in the next little while here, so that it's going to end up looking quite a bit like a portland chart into the past. And we're building some of those anchor facts, special facts. We're going to learn a little bit more about those today. That knowing those facts is extremely useful. In fact, they are the most useful ones that we can possibly learn if we want to actually study history and understand it. So we're going to go back further here and learn more of these anchor facts. So let me share my screen with you. Normally, I do this thing where I fix the sound before I start the class, but I was a little bit rushed this morning, so I wasn't able to do that. So pardon me while I quickly check the sound on the hand raising. Jeremy, raise your hand. Okay, thank you. I have fixed it. And what I wanted to do now was take you through to the last of our, well, we've got a special set of anchor facts that we're going to start with this year before we dive into the material of history. And these are the ones we have so far. And for some people, these are very familiar because we talked about these last year. But what's going to be a challenge, guaranteed, is for everybody here to understand what it means to say that they are anchor facts. And for everybody here to be able to say how these facts connect us to the ancient world. That is our great challenge. And it's not easy to do. Once you get in the habit of it, it gets easier and easier. But I'm sure that even with all the experience some of my veterans here have in talking about these facts in American history, they can still use a lot of help in terms of figuring out what they mean in terms of ancient history. And then, if you really know what you're talking about, what they mean in terms of history, period. Not any particular part of history, but all of history. So that you, as a person, can see that it's all connected together. That's where we're going with this. So, we have one more fact to add in order to be able to see history that way, or to get ourselves ready to see history as all one story, essentially. So in order to do that, here is the last of our anchor facts that we're starting in this introduction for the year anyway. It's a tandem fact. Does anybody know what I mean by that before I show it? What would it mean to say that it's a tandem fact? I'll show you the fact and then you can tell me what tandem means in case you didn't know. Okay, there's our new fact right here. Okay, it's a tandem fact. What is that? Anybody know what that means? Has anybody here ever ridden a bicycle in tandem? Or a kayak, maybe, in tandem? What does that mean? Jeremy?
Tandem means two.
Yeah, right. It means two of them together, right? So riding a bicycle in tandem means that there's two seats, hopefully. Sometimes you can ride it in tandem even if there's only one seat. But there's two seats. Or in a kayak that's a two-seater, right, is going to be two people together. So you can see that this is a tandem fact. It means that there's two parts to it. And most of you guys are pretty familiar with it. I'm just going to show you the painting here that's really nice to look at with regard to this. The painting that I'm using is not one that we would do in history through art, but it's a painting of ancient Athens. So maybe you would recognize this because this is called the Parthenon, and parts of it are still there today. I apologize, didn't mean to do that. Parts of it are there today. The statue of Athena is not, which is too bad, huh? And other things are not there because it's in ruins. But it's still beautiful to go visit, and it's in the center of Athens. So that's the painting that I use to symbolize this tandem fact. So again, back to the actual anchor fact timeline. So our fact that we need to have in our arsenal of meaningful facts is that in ancient Athens, the people created a form of government that had never existed before, which was what? Rosetta?
Republic.
Oh, nice try. You only had two choices there, but you kind of got them mixed up. In ancient Athens, they created something else.
Yep.
Wyatt. Henry, whichever.
Democracy.
Okay, democracy. Thank you. All right, so we have Athenian democracy in 508 BC was a very special form of government that they created. We're going to have to talk about that a little bit to make sure when we use words that we are not kind of just leaping past things that are very important and you don't know what they mean. And on the other hand, in Rome, they created another kind, and Rosetta already told us that one, okay? They created a kind of government called a republic. And what's pretty amazing is they created those around the same time. Okay, pop quiz here. Ready for a tricky question that you guys didn't get right last time. So here it goes. If the Athenian democracy was created in 508 and the Roman Republic was created in 509, which came first? Patrick, which came first?
Athenian democracy.
Oh, incorrect. So who can help Patrick with that? I knew I would trap you guys again with that one. Okay, Julia, can you help?
Republic.
Why? If it was 509 and Athens is 508, how come 509 is before 508?
Because it goes backwards.
Oh, because it's BC, right? So if you have more years before Christ, then that's further back. Fewer years is not as far back. Ah, so everybody's got to make this mental leap, because otherwise history doesn't make sense, BC. All right, we're going to have to be very clear that 509 comes before 508 when we're talking about BC. Right, that's the tricky part. Okay, all right, so now we're going to have to talk a little bit about each of these terms to make sure that when we go back and study history, these are not just words that don't mean anything, because otherwise these are not anchor facts. If these are words we don't understand, then these are not anchor facts. These are just words. So we're in big trouble, right? Okay, so when you hear the word democracy is the easiest one. When you hear the word democracy, what comes to mind? If you have a definition, give it to me. If you don't, at least tell me what people think about when they hear the word democracy. There's something that people always think about when they hear democracy. Everybody needs a refresher there. Henry and Wyatt, go ahead.
This is Wyatt. When you think about democracy, the right thing to think is the people rule.
Okay, the people rule. That is a good start for sure. How do they rule, Wyatt?
They rule by this different things, like everyone goes, they say someone wants to pass a rule. Well, everyone goes and puts in their vote saying no, yes, or different rules are going to be placed out. Everyone goes in and says which group they would like.
Right, right. The key word to focus on here, everybody, is that in a democracy, the people vote on making the laws. Okay? So that's what we mean by the people rule. Democracy, or demos in that word, means people in ancient Greek. Okay? So the people rule. And how can you get all the people to rule together? Well, you have to have some arrangement for figuring out how to make the rules. If everybody's going to make the rules, how do you do that? You can't get everybody to agree. So as Wyatt said, when people vote, well, when people make the rules, they vote. But then how does that work? Now we're getting really close to a proper statement of what democracy is. When all the people get together to make the rules, some people, you know, Wyatt was saying, some people say yes, some people say no. Well, since they disagree, how do things get decided in a democracy? Right, in the United States, there's going to be a presidential election. And it's pretty democratic. Typically, what do people expect? How do you decide who's going to be the president when people vote? If there's two different people competing, which one gets chosen? Yeah, it's good I'm asking these questions. Everybody needs a little refresher here about the word democracy. Sigourney, how would you explain it?
You vote.
Yes, all right, we already said that, but how does a vote get decided? Who wins the vote? What's that group called that wins when you have a vote? And they're the group that gets to decide what the rules are going to be. Gabriel.
The person who got the most votes.
Okay, what is that word for the most? You have to have a certain number. You have to have more than the other guy, especially when there's two choices, which means you have to have more than half the votes. There's a word for that. Julia.
The majority.
Okay, we made it. We made it here. Now we've got the definition of democracy. The majority rules. To say the people rule is actually a little bit of a, you know, incomplete way of thinking of it. Because not all the people rule. As it turns out, the minority gets ruled by the majority. So it's not very pleasant, depending on what the majority decides to do. So it's a very interesting form of government. We're going to see that if the majority decides to do something mean, they can. And that's what's scary about democracy. Okay? If the majority decides to do something that attacks the minority, then they get to do that because they're the majority and they rule. And we have examples of that throughout history whenever things have been decided democratically. We are going to see one of the most important examples comes from ancient Athens. Because the Athenians did something really terrible. And this helps us to understand what a democracy is. And also, it helps us to understand what a republic is, because a republic is not the same thing. So now, a republic is actually harder to figure out than a democracy. Does anybody here have a thought about what republic means? Kind of interesting because the word public is kind of in that word too, right? It is another public form of government. In other words, it involves the people. Okay, but there's something special about it that makes it a republic and not a democracy where the people can do whatever they want. There's a big difference. Since you guys are not too fresh on this particular one, I'm just going to let you know what the answer is. Okay? In a republic, there are laws that protect the minority, even the smallest minority, the individual, from everybody else. Okay? In a republic, there are laws that protect the minority from the majority, including the smallest minority, which is one person. Okay? So there are laws. And in a republic, the democracy can't change those laws. You can't just vote and do something terrible because the laws stop you from doing that. Okay? I want somebody to repeat that formulation in their own words, please. Because I don't want it to just be Mr. Powell said what a republic is. Everybody else didn't get it, and we move on. So who here can kind of give me a student version of what Mr. Powell said? What is a republic? All right, well, this is going to be part of your homework assignment to write this one out, okay? Because we can't keep coming back class after class if we don't have this one. And so we'll work hard on it, okay? I'll say it one more time, then Gabriel's going to try his own version of it. A republic is a kind of government where there are laws that protect the minority, including the individual, from the majority. And there are laws that protect rights. That would be another way to put it. The majority cannot do whatever it wants, like in a democracy. Gabriel, what's your own wording there? Go for it.
The Republic is when, if the majority wants to do something not good or bad, the minority can try to stop them because there are laws.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the minority can try to stop them. I would say that the laws stop them, and they are stopped. So we see examples of this, and we'll see examples of them in history, in Rome and in America, where you cannot make whatever laws you want because there is a set of laws that protects you, and it's called the Constitution. Actually, we should make that word a part of our definition as well. Okay? So we're going to come back over that one. I don't want to get completely stalled on that one, but it's a very important one because if we're going to understand why ancient history matters so much, we need this fact and we need to take, well, it's a tandem fact. It's got two parts to it. Okay? And we need to marry it with another fact on this sheet. You didn't know that historical facts could get married, did you? We need to marry it. Patrick thinks that that's funny. I hope so. It's supposed to be funny. It's a joke. It's a history joke.
Yeah.
Okay? We're going to marry this fact and this fact down here. The American Declaration of Independence, 1776. They're going to get married. And when they do, they have wonderful historical children. right? So what is the marriage? When the United States of America was created, what kind of government was it? The founding fathers declared independence, and then they said, all right, we're not going to have a king anymore. We're going to have what? It's kind of a 50-50 here. I hope we're going to get this one. Rosetta? Indeed, a republic. I know it was a little bit scary when Mr. Powell said, I don't know if we're going to get this one right? So, when Benjamin Franklin famously, and the other founding fathers crafted the government, the Constitution of the United States, and he left this convention that they were having. And the lady asked him, she said, what kind of government do we have? And he said very famously, and it's the best, little phrase you can ever remember about it. He said, a republic, if you can keep it. So he laid down a challenge to all Americans to understand what the Founding Fathers had done and to see whether or not they could understand it and whether or not they could keep it. Because a republic is the best form of government with the most freedom that's possible. So they did an amazing job. It wasn't perfect, to be sure, but that was what they did. And they did it. Why did they do this? Why would they make this? Was there a republic anywhere else in the world that they were copying at the time? The time, I won't expect you guys to know that, but you know, the time there were two little governments calling themselves republic, but they really didn't matter that much. And so no, there really weren't. There was one especially that they were interested in. None other. There was one especially that they were interested in. The Roman Republic. Okay, here's a little thing that John Adams once wrote. I found this on an interesting article. Don't worry about the meaning of the title here. It's a big word that means enjoying ancient Greece. It's a big word that means enjoying ancient Greece. What I want you to notice right here is what John Adams said about, I'm going to let you read this. I'm going to zoom in on it here. Read as I follow my cursor here, right? So this is what John Adams said. Let me go to the bottom because it's too bad it's split. But John Adams, who was one of the American presidents, said, "Let us study the history of the ancient." Okay, and then we're going to go to the next line, okay? John Adams' advice. "Let us study the history of the ancient," and now I scan up to the top, "ancient ages," semicolon, "contemplate the great examples of Greece and Rome." Huh. Athens in particular, and Rome. This is a very strong statement by John Adams. "Athens and Rome have done more honor to our species, humanity, than all the rest of it." Wow, that's a really strong statement. "A new country, such as the United States, can be planted only by such government." Wow. So, what did John Adams say were the two most important things to study in all of history? Is that a hard question? I think it's right on there. Julia?
Ancient Greece and Rome.
Ancient Greece and Rome. That's it. The two most important things. Right? They have done more to honor our species than all the rest of it. So in other words, what he's saying is, if you had to study only two things in all of history, in all of it, he would say, this is the two things you need to study. If you want to have a free society, you need to study that. Number one priority. Wow. Okay? John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. You want to know John Adams here? Let me take you back. This is Benjamin Franklin. And let me take you to John Adams here, because we have our painting, right, of the Declaration of Independence. And does anybody see John Adams here? Oh, Benjamin Franklin's there. You guys see him? Let me zoom in a little bit on the main characters of this painting. Okay? Here's Benjamin Franklin at the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Who's this? The man who's actually presenting the document. Who's that? Rosetta?
Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson, right. The main author of the Declaration and the third president of the United States. And guess who this guy is over here? Because it's a leading question. Julia.
John Adams.
John Adams, yes. The one who wrote that line that said, "Athens and Rome are the most important things to study." All right, so a republic if you can keep it. All right, we declare our independence. We must study Athens and Rome. Well, okay, it doesn't get to be a stronger message than that from these three most important characters. We've got two others here, and we've got a room full of important people, that's for sure. But the three most important characters in the painting are telling us something very significant. They're saying that there is no United States of America without this ancient history that we have studied and learned from. And so our modern world was made thanks to that. There you go. Okay, there is, so in other words, I'll put it this way. There is no modern world without, finish that sentence for me. Opal?
History?
Yes, but give it to me more precisely. Exactly what Thomas Jefferson and John Adams said. There's no modern world without. Ancient history, without Athens and Rome especially, okay, above all else. So, you are here? Why are you here? How did you get here? Well, yeah, it's pretty easy for people to see that the reason we're here is that the United States was created in 1776. But we have to marry that fact with another fact if we're going to really understand it. How did there ever come to be a United States? A republic if you can keep it. Only because beforehand there was Athens and Rome. Okay? All right. I can see that this is going to take a little time. I know I've got some American history veterans here. I'm kind of surprised that this has slipped your awareness here, but we're going to get it back into place. And if it's new to you, that's okay too. All right? But we're going to review this connection. A republic, if you can keep it, well, okay. Why did they make a republic? What is it? It's over here in ancient times. We can't have modern times without ancient times. Okay? What else in modern times? Let's see if we can try one more thing. What else in modern times do we not have without an event from ancient times? Go back to this side over here. What else do we not have in the world today without events from ancient times? And the connection is hard. The connection is hard. But that's where the meaning of history is. Anybody can memorize facts. And then what you do when you memorize facts is you regurgitate them onto the paper, and it doesn't mean anything. And I've done that, and your parents have done that, and that's what history has been for far too long, okay? Taking in facts and then regurgitating them onto paper. And then after you take your tests, you forget everything because it doesn't matter. All right? I will not allow that. That is just a gigantic waste of time, and I won't allow it. What we need here is facts that matter. So, right now, we're at a point where some of this stuff you might remember. You know, I can come to you and I'll say, hey, what happened in 1492? And you'll say, oh, Christopher Columbus discovered America. Right? Now you regurgitated the fact. And I'll say, hey, what happened in 3000 BC? And you will regurgitate the fact. Menes, Narma, unified Egypt. Okay, that's the easy part. I know I've taught five-year-olds that understand how to regurgitate those facts. Okay? But that is not the meaning of history. That's the hard part, is making the connection. How can we live in the world that we do today? We gotta make a connection. We gotta go from here, down to here, and over to here. That's one connection. Very powerful connection, if we can see it. How come we have, and I'll say it one more time for today, in different wording, so it'll help it to start sinking in, okay? And then we'll keep hammering away at it here. Okay. How come America is as free today as it is? Is that a, how do you want to put that? Go ahead.
Because of the Roman Republic.
All right, pretty good answer. But we want to make sure that we marry our facts here, not just have that, right? Because the founding fathers of America learned from the Roman Republic. See, that's how we bridge our freedom today with the ancient with ancient history. It goes through the founders. If we forget this link, we won't have it. We're not free today because of the Romans. We're not Romans. Okay, the Romans are long gone. When did the Romans disappear? Oh, come on, everybody. It's too much, isn't it? The Romans disappeared over here. Right? Opal, go ahead.
I was just going to say, in 476 AD, since it's on the...
Yeah, exactly. It's right on our timeline, okay? So the Romans made an amazing form of freedom, but they lost it. And they're gone now. That's the ancient, that's ancient history over here. But it's not useless, because the founders learned from it and made our free society. Okay, that's the connection that we need. Okay? So you can ask yourself, why am I free today? Might not be perfectly free, that's for sure, but as free as you are, there's a reason why you are free. It starts here, and it goes back to this. Okay, that's the connection that we, that's our first really powerful connection that we need. Okay, and then we have others. But if we don't have that one, there's really no point in doing more. Okay, we need this one. Okay, so everybody should think about that one. I want to see who can tell me tomorrow. Okay, this is everybody's homework assignment. Who can tell me tomorrow how did we get the American Republic? Or how did Americans become free? What's the connection between America and ancient history? Okay, they're all the same question. All right, I hope you can think about that and challenge yourself. And I'll do my best to help you with that a little bit more tomorrow. Last thoughts for today, Opal.
When are you going to tell us the name of the painting we did last Friday?
When it's...
I really want to know what it is.
I know, when it's time. All right, that's it for today, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye, Mr. Powell.
All right, bye-bye.
Mr. Powell.
Bye.
Please tell us tomorrow.